This may be us for tonight, and so we'll just go ahead and get going, and thank the Lord for you being here. And this is a great series. We're walking through it and really talking about our spiritual gifts and then our God-given design. How does, you know, the spiritual gifts really work together with all of how God has made us? He's designed us and shaped us to use our acrostic that we've talked about, those five different areas that we're going to cover in this 7 weeks. And I think the common question so far, two or three asked, is where are we in the study? How many more weeks, you know? And so we're, you know, we are in week five, and then we'll have two more weeks. And tonight we're going to finish up personality to really go, how do I really understand my personality? How do I understand other people's personality? And then we're going to move from that to next week to looking at our God-given abilities or talents. And we're going to do a whole night on just our talents and how that comes into play with our spiritual gifts and our personality. And then we're going to say, how does our talents work in with that? And so we'll have a time on that. And then the last night, I'm going to combine two of them, and we'll talk through both our heart's passions and our sovereign experiences. So we'll combine those two and go, well, how does my sovereign experiences play into who I am? How, you know, the experiences of my life, everything from, you know, where I was born, the family I was born in, to the other experiences, good or those that were challenging. And then we'll talk through that week as well of just, so what about my heart's passions and my, you know, how do I know it's from God or me or what, or, you know, how does that play in into who I am and what I should do for the Lord? So now I love to do those last two in a separate lesson, but being 7 weeks, we'll combine those. And so that's what we have to look forward to. But again, tonight we're going to do one more week on personality because, it's such a key to understand our God-given design and how God's made us. Well, before I go and teach any more, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you, God, for each person here. Thank you, God, for how you made and how you have shaped and how you're continuing to make each person that's here tonight and each person in our church. We thank you so much for your great love that you've lavished upon us. And thank you that you, before time began, you did design your plan for us and even shape those days that we yet to walk in. And Father, that we thank you that you're sovereign God, and we trust you, and we thank you that you made each one of us on purpose, on your purpose, for you and for your glory. And wow, that's just such an amazing thing, Father, that you would have that type of intricate plan for each one of us, and thank you for that. And tonight we ask that you would bless our time, that as we walk through this, that you would encourage us and that you would teach us and that we would understand how do we live, how do we walk with you in how you made us in our God-given personality, the personality you gave us. And then how do we also understand other people that are different from us and their personality? You know, how does that, you know, how can we really understand them? So, God, we do ask that you would bless the night and bless our time. In Christ's name, amen. Excuse me. All right, so understanding your God-given personality, I'm going to stay with our key passage that we read last week, and we're going to stay with that Psalm 139 and verse 13 through 16, because really that is the key passage for personality. I'm not going to go back and reteach the whole thing, but what I do want to do is highlight a few of those principles that that we hit on last week before we go into understanding our personality. So let's read this great, fantastic passage in Psalm 139. We'll begin with verse 13 and go through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Incredible passage, and again, we walked through it line by line last week, but just a few principles. The first thing that we saw last week and that we talked through is God designed and made each one of us just the way He wanted and for His glory. And so He made us for Him, not for ourselves. He made us for His glory, not for our own. Or He made us for His kingdom, not for us to build our kingdom. And not for us to say, look at me, look how great I am. No, God made us for Him and for His glory and for His purpose. That's how we're made and designed by the Lord. And another thing we talked about last week that's good to remember this week, I think I say it twice tonight, we'll see how many times, but there's no best personality type, and there's no worst personality type. You may really like your personality type. Why can't she be like me? Or why can't he be like me? Or you may go, oh, I really wish I was like her. I really wish I was like him. And God says, no, I made you just the way I wanted you. And, you know, be content and also rejoice in who you are and embrace it. Each one we're designed by God, and so that's important. So Christians must accept, love, and encourage one another no matter how different they are in personality. And we need to do that, and that was a principle we talked through last week, and a key principle that we need to be reminded of tonight when we talk through what we're talking about tonight. And also, knowing your personality will really help you understand yourself better, why you do what you do, why you think how you think, why you feel the way you feel, you know, when things are going around you and happening, you know, why are you responding this way and they're responding that way? You know, they seem, eh, no big deal. And you're like, yes, it is. I mean, look, and this could happen, that could happen. It's just you're wired different, you know, and that's because of God's design. Knowing your personality will help you understand and relate to others better. And knowing your personality will help you be more effective in serving Christ. It really will. And even experience that abundant life that Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. That's in all walking in the Spirit. But it's also a key to that. And I said it'll help you walk in the Spirit more consistently. If you really know your temperament, your personality, you can tend to see our weaknesses and the areas that we struggle in. Therefore, we can be quicker to make sure the Spirit's controlling our hearts and our minds and our lives and not our own flesh, because our flesh is going to act a certain way. You know, maybe it's worry. Maybe it's to fight and go after it and get after it, you know, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it is. But it will really help us to walk in the Spirit as we understand our God-given design and let Christ continue to mold and make us into His image. He was, as I said last week, I really believe this. It's not in the Bible, but I believe this, that Jesus was the best of all of the personality types. I mean, He's Almighty God. I mean, He's perfect in all His ways. So He's the best of everything that there is and beyond what we could comprehend. So I really believe He was all of the best of what we could imagine about any of these, and He's continuing to mold and make us into His image. So, other thoughts on just interpretation. So tonight, last week we kind of said, okay, what's your temperament? What's your major one? Tonight we want to go, so what? Okay, what does that mean? What does it really look like? And so what we're going to do, we're going to go extensively through each one and talk through it, and I believe it will really be a fun lesson, but also a very encouraging and I hope insightful lesson. Well, a few thoughts. Your personality and temperament, again, was given by God at birth, and you will keep the same personality temperament all your life. Now, we talked through that last week as well. What I'm saying here is your temperament is your basic bent. Okay, so when we talk through personality, we're not talking about your total person, as some psychologists or when you read about personality, they're saying it's your total person. We call that your design or your shape, or you know. But what in temperament or your personality is more of your bent or how God made you to interpret things as they come. And so we get that at birth. It's with us all our life. Again, it's sanctified. We become more like Jesus. So, you know, we change. And we'll, again, talk about that in a minute. No two people are identical, even when they have a similar personality. Each person has a unique design by God. You know, you've heard people talk about that each one of us are like, you know, a snowflake, and each snowflake of all throughout all time has always been different. Or we're like a grain of sand, and every grain of sand is different. Well, our design, no matter how similar we are, you know, it doesn't look the same as somebody else. You know, two people as an SC temperament aren't going to look the same because God has brought different things into their life and different gifts and talents and abilities and different experiences and different heart passions. And so there, no two people, even if they have the same personality type, is going to look different, are going to look the same. They're going to be different. They're unique in God's design. Most people have a combination of two of the temperament types. So that's why I was like, okay, what's your secondary? You know, most of us have, you know, a primary and a secondary type. And each person is unique individual, as I said, and will not portray every description listed in, you know, as we walk through this, we'll walk through all the D's, the doer, and you'll go, well, I got some of those, but I don't have all of them, but that's who I am. And okay, that's because you're unique, you know, and you're not going to have every one of these. And it's good to read each description of the DISC temperament and validate if that's, you know, if you did it, to go, am I really who I came out to be? So we're going to read through every one of these tonight, and we're going to talk through every one of these tonight. Well, to begin this, you know, what you'll notice up here, see if this little, can't see it, all right. But you'll notice that on this illustration here, and you have it on your handout, this, of course, I didn't come up with this. This is actually copy and paste off the internet, so I didn't even draw this. But it was a good one. And there's like hundreds out there for just in the domain of you can just kind of copy and paste them in. And but when you look at this, a few things I wanted to highlight. You know, in this circle that there's, notice there's four different quadrants, and, you know, you have the D in this quadrant, the I is the red one, the S is blue, and the C is, you know, yellow. You'll notice it's in different quadrants. And also notice this, that there's a horizontal line here down the middle, and so you have this horizontal line. That's vertical, right? That's horizontal. All right, so we'll go horizontal line here. And so when you look at the D and the I, which is above this line, then they're more active and initiative. They're people who are more active and initiate, okay? And then you go, okay, what about below this middle line, this line, this horizontal line? Well, they're going to be more reserved and responsive. And so that's their basic makeup according to this. Now, again, this is putting it in broad terms. So, and then you have the vertical line, and then that the I and the S are over here on this side, and they're people-oriented. And then the D and the C are over on this side of the line, and they're task-oriented. And so if you take each one, if you look at the D, then you go, okay, they're going to be active and initiate to task because that's their quadrant, you know. And so you see this challenge, drive, and action, but anyway. And then you go, well, what about the I? Well, they're going to initiate to people. That's who they are. And then you say, well, what about the S? Well, they're going to be responsive to people. They're going to be more reserved, but they're people-oriented. And then the C, they're going to be more responsive and reserved, but they're task-oriented. So that kind of gives you this diagram and how it plays out. I will say this. the different responses. I love to see it when somebody comes in, because I even ask my wife, because she's on a different, you know, she's got a totally different personality type of mine. I said, do I really need to give all three of these pages? You know, and because, you know, because when a D looks at all this, they're like, I don't need more. You just answered all my questions. Let's go get her done. You know, I mean, why would you go into all those details? I mean, you just told me, and let's do it. Let's go do this thing. And for the D, I would say, well, if you listen, and we'll talk through this, and as you understand each personality type as we go through it, you will be even more effective getting things done. And you will really accomplish things better, and you'll be able to get more people to get it done. And you're like, okay, you got me. I'll sit and listen. And then the I is like, oh my goodness. Anybody got a Coke or a cup of coffee? I mean, if we're going through all this, you know, are we going to talk about it? You know, yes, we're going to have small group time, so you get to talk about it in a minute. And so that's good. But then I say to you, if you really understand what we're going to cover tonight, boy, you're going to be able to relate to a large number of people and be able to influence them and be able to communicate so much better to them. And you know, you're really going to be able to do this. And you're going, okay, I'm in. You got me. And then the yes, they're going to say, wow, you spent a lot of time on that. You did a great job. And I'm going to be like, thank you. I love you. You know, because they're just, you know, they're going to encourage me and they're going to be there. In fact, it's, you know, they're not going to ask anything that's going to cause me to feel better, to think, why should I do this? But for you, I would say, if you really understand what we're talking about tonight, you get to build deeper relationships with those you love and have less conflict. And this really helps you, you know, to be able to do those things that God's called you to do. And you're like, okay, I'm in. And then the C. The C's like, man, only three pages? We could have more, right? And I'm like, yes, we could. And then you'll be like, you got this listed twice here. I know, I'm sorry, fix it, circle it and give it back to me and fix it for me. You know, or you spelled this wrong. I'll be like, I know, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that one. So you'll fix it for me and help me organize it better. If you really want to, I'm not kidding. Circle it, mark it up, hand it back to me, I'll give you a fresh copy, and you can help me make this better. But the C's, you know, we're in. We're all here together because you like the details, and we're good to go. So there you go. Just a little fun exercise to go. Why do we need to cover each thing that extensively? And those are the reasons for each personality type. So here we got the doer. We got the influencer. We got the stabilized, steady person, and the more calculated person that's going to really help us do the right things the right way. In the family of God, and so each one is valuable. Each one's important. So there you go. Let's talk through each one, and we're going to take it DIS. You know, the disc DISC that way. What about the doer? Okay. What about the doer? The doer is again more active and task oriented. A few words. They just happen to start with D. They're more direct, more decisive, can be more demanding, and can be more dominant. So that's the basic the doer temperament or personality. A high D score indicates that you initiate to accomplish tasks and to solve problems. This person's results-oriented, they're independent, competitive, and has a direct communication style. They're going to communicate more directly and appreciate that. Their strength of a D, of this doer temperament, is they're visionary, they're productive, they're practical, they're decisive, they're persistent, and they have leadership qualities. Well, each one of us, we're going to talk about each one of our weaknesses. So each one of us, each temperament has a basic weakness, and then I'll share just a growth area, So weaknesses for a D in the flesh is we can be too driven or too domineering, can be stubborn, can be so aggressive they can forget to consider other people's feelings or thoughts. You know, they say things so direct, it could hurt people's feelings at times. All right, growth areas. You know, the D can grow in learning to be more patient, less controlling, more flexible, have a deeper concern for people, to serve other people, and then to show their love to people. The D's love people, but some people, a true high D, some people won't know that they love anybody because they're just so task-oriented. Well, but they do. So a D needs to learn, how do I communicate love to people? How do I do it in a way that they feel loved? And, you know, not my way, but the way that communicates love to them. And then Bible characters. This is kind of cool. We're just going to highlight a few Bible characters that have your major temperament. And D's in the Bible, you would have guessed Paul, wouldn't you? If I just said, okay, I almost asked. You would have said, yeah, Paul. And Lydia, Solomon, Sarah, Joshua. A good thing with these is you can go do a Bible study, a character study, meaning you take that person, that character, and you can read passages about who they are and their personality and what God taught them even. And some of them, there's major lessons God taught them throughout their life or through a situation. And you can do a character study, and then you can learn things about your own self and then how you could grow in Christ. So that's what I'd encourage, and that's why I do Bible characters, not just because it's fun, it is, but that you could do a character study in the Bible, and just it could help us grow in Christ. Generally speaking, what's the personal motivation for a D is results, and they like a challenge, you know. So that's some personal motivation. What do they desire? A D desires freedom, authority, choices, and an opportunity to achieve. So those are the desires of a D. How do you relate to a D? You say, okay, I'm not a D, but my husband is, or my friend is, or my sister is, or, you know, how do I best relate to them? Each one of them, I'm going to give you a few pointers. To relate best to a high D, you provide direct answers. Stick to the business at hand, you know, to the conversation at hand. It's hard for them to follow all the things that, and they, you know, they want to talk to about the business at hand. Stress logic in whatever you're communicating or doing, and then show them respect. Now, we're to respect each other. We show each other respect. But a D tends to see if they're disrespected quicker, far quicker than an I. They're going to think you love them no matter what, and they're just going to be like, and then you could, in a minute after you said something that might have hurt their feeling a little bit, they'll probably be fine. Because they just, that's their temperament, not a D. Boy, you know, they pick up on disrespect real quick. So you have to be careful to treat them, with respect and your wording and how you say things, so forth, so on. Alright. What about the influencer, the I? They're active and they're people oriented. You know, a party can't be big enough. They love it. You know, let's go get with people. So, well, their words start with I. How about that? They're inspiring. They're influencing. They're impressing and they're interacting. So that's overall some words that would help describe the high I influencer temperament. A high I score indicates that someone would initiate to people. They would love to be with people. They would love to influence people. This person is people-oriented, likes to help others, likes recognition, and is very verbal. Okay? They're a verbal processor. That's how they work through things, is verbally and talking through things. And so I think I may say that in a minute, so I won't go ahead and say it. Strengths. They're outgoing, they're influencers, they're friendly, they're optimistic, they're trusting, persuasive, and compassionate. So when you walk in the door, boy, you feel they love you, they care about you, and you feel connected to them. And, well, their weaknesses, they can be too optimistic. They can prioritize being liked over being responsible, not a good listener because they overtalk. And that can happen. And their desire for approval can be so high that it can govern their decisions and even what they say and do. And then a fear of rejection. Growth areas for someone with a high I: learn to listen to others. Hold to deadlines. Not to be overly optimistic. Now, keep your optimism. We need it. We need you to be optimistic. and then develop discipline in your life. Set deadlines to accomplish tasks. Be careful with your words. So those are some growth areas. How about Bible characters? Anybody want to guess that one? Did you see it? Peter? You think Peter's a knight? Yes. You know, who would speak and then all of a sudden it's like, how long does it take him to remove his foot from his mouth? You know, Peter is a high temperament. But yet, God's work in his life, then he became the spokesperson for the disciples and preached, you know, that first sermon after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So God transformed and used that great temperament, his personality. And Rebecca, David, Abigail, and Barnabas are all eyes. And then personal motivation. Recognition and approval would motivate an eye. Desires to motivate others, to verbalize ideas, friendly relationships, and freedom from details. That would, they'd love that. And then how do you relate best to a high eye, somebody who has an eye? Well, social involvement. You know, say your personality is you don't really like to go and do things, but it's your friend, and you need to just go, okay, let's go do something, you know, out with people. And the freedom to express themselves, recognition of abilities, and then environment of fairness. You know, they really value that environment of fairness for themselves and other people around them because they pick up on that. They're intuitive, you know, relationally. All right, we're just going to keep going through all these. Then you have the S. You know, as I said before, that's the glue that holds us all together. You know, the steady, stabilizer, personality. They're more responder and people-oriented. They're stable, submissive, but in business or in life or whatever, they become specialists because they prefer a few people and a few things. So they like to get good at something. And they're really good at doing that, and that's a strength we'll see in a minute. The high S score indicates that you're people-oriented, you're steady, you're a responder personality. This person desires stability, predictability, do not like conflict, and do not like change because, you know, that's how they're wired, and does not like conflict, where there it is, nor in an uncontrolled environment, so the change. And then their strengths. They're dependable. They're loyal. They're calm, easygoing, diplomatic, patient, caring, and a good listener. But what about their weaknesses? Then they internalize conflict instead of dealing with things or sharing, you know, how you hurt their feelings or whatever. But so they'll internalize conflict in their flesh. They would if it's the BS. And be overly sensitive, resist change, fearful, indecisive, procrastinator, and can avoid people who are aggressive. And then growth areas. If you're an S, here's some encouragement that I would have is be more courageous. You know, you have so much gifts and talents and abilities. Step out and go ahead and be more courageous. Trust God with change. Be more assertive. Initiate the people more and share your thoughts and opinions more. Who are the Bible characters? Abraham, Hannah, Nehemiah, and Mary, who's the sister of Martha, and Timothy. So each one of these you go, okay, this is great. Whichever one you are, so far you looked at the list and you go, wow, those are pretty godly people. Yes, they are. And so God has godly people all in the Bible for us to see. And then personal motivation would be relationships and appreciation and stability. Those are some motivations. And then their desires, identification with a group, consistent, familiar environment, area of specialization, and security of a situation. So those are some desires a true S would have for their life and for things that, you know, maybe where they work, where they live, their life, that would be desires. How do you relate best to an S? Here's some helps. If you relate to an S on an ongoing basis, is be friendly. Provide personal support. use gentle words. Give time to adjust to change. Allow to work at their own pace whenever possible. You know, with that whole gentle words and provide support, I didn't put affirmation. But affirmation's really good to affirm, genuine affirmation. You know, they'll pick up on it if it's not genuine, but genuine affirmation where you would share something and why that's a good quality you see and why you saw that and how you saw that in their life. Okay, so there's an S. And then we have the calculator. Those who are responders and more task-oriented, they're calculating, they're competent, they're cautious and careful. You know, as I said a while ago, well, we'll say the strengths in a minute. The high C scores indicates you're task-oriented and calculating. This person is systematic. They pursue quality. They're cautious. They desire clearly defined and limited tasks and things that are logical as well. And they are logical. Strengths, they're organized, analytical, self-disciplined, industrious, and detailed oriented. You know, again, as I said a while ago, the C is going to help make sure that we're accomplishing what God's called us to do in the way that God called us. They're going to be thinking through things in a more critical way, where the I is going to be thinking through things in a very people way, or the D, again, in a doing way, where they're going to make sure, is this being said in the right way, or is this going to be done in the right way? And so that's their strength. Their weakness, they can overanalyze. They can delay decisions because of just thinking through all those details. They can be perfectionistic. They can be unsociable. They can be worrisome, and because they see everything that could happen. You know, the I is optimistic. Nothing's going to happen bad. Let's go. You know, where the C is could be, more worrisome. They can be critical. Again, they see, you know, everything that we may not, and who's not a C. And then they can fear failure. All right, growth areas. Develop relationships. You know, here's some things that a true C, you know, that's their predominant, and maybe that's their only, then they need to work on that, to develop relationships, to be more flexible, to focus on the right things, not just on being right, to take more risk, to respond more quickly, and be more optimistic. Bible characters. So how about this? Moses. Praise the Lord for Moses. We got the Pentateuch, and it is detailed. You ever notice how detailed those first five books are? God gave him that personality to record all that for you and me and our walk with him, that we would know God that way. And Ruth and Elijah and Esther and Luke, you know, those are some good Bible characters that would fall more in line with a C. Their personal motivation, correctness, quality, and to be right. And then their desires, time to think. Clearly defined tasks, details, limited risk, precision, and planning. Others relate best. This way, how you can relate best to a C is to apply these things and more, but these are just a few ideas I have. Welcome discussing the details and suggestions that they have. You know, welcome that when you're relating to a C. Be welcoming and accept their why questions. Don't think the why questions aren't directed at you in a negative way. They're just why questions. And because that's how they're wired, accept those and answer them. Or if you don't know, say, I don't know. That's a good question. Give them time to think and plan. Give them details and then clearly defined tasks. All right. So there's the D and the I and the S and the C. We walked through all of those. Let's talk through a few additional thoughts on interpreting kind of our temperament and other people's temperament. And I'm going to repeat some things I said last week or this week in this next segment, but it's intentional. Don't think I'm just doing it to do it. You know, again, you're more likely to be a combination of two personality types, a primary and a secondary. You know, maybe you're the D. I, or you're an I, you know, D-I, or an I-S, or the SC or the DC, you know, or, you know, you can go any combination there. You know, there's at least 16 combinations. I've done a lot of study and reading, and there's 24 that are out there when they take them and combine them and look at them. But really, when you do the test, anything that's over that 10 in the midpoint, when you're doing it that way, then you could say, okay, then that's really, you know, one of mine that I have there. A few people are three-pointers. Dr. Eirich, if you know Howard Eirich, you know, when I talked through this with him, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, you know, he said he was a three-pointer. Don't remember what those were, but I do know that he's a three-pointer. You know him well. You probably could pick him out. And then, but some, you go, I don't have a secondary. I'm just an S. I'm just a D. I'm just a C, or I'm just a I. Okay. That's how God made you. Praise Jesus. You don't have to have a secondary. You're just who God made you. And you do have a spiritual gift with it, and you do have a talent or more with it. So, and we'll talk about all of that. And then interpret with that whole shape filter, as I just started alluding to. Each one of these influence the other. And that's really important. It's hard for people to put that all together. I hope that something, when you leave these 7 weeks, you will put that together, that your, you know, your spiritual gift. In fact, one question I'm going to have you an exercise to talk about is, how do you see your spiritual gift and your personality working together in your life? I want you to start processing that. Then we'll talk about your talent next week. But, you know, we're going to, it's a question on your little sheet down there. So you're, each one of these influence how you're put together. All right. So, I could go through me, but I won't give us more time. I'll go on through it and give you time for discussion. All right. Each Christian is growing more into the image of Christ and maturing. So you may go, well, I have a little bit of everything. I think we talked about that last week. Yes, you do, because Jesus is your Lord and you have Jesus. So some of that is just growing and maturing in your faith. But when you really look at your basic temperament or your bent or who you are as growing up and who you are when you're just at your house and you're not out or interacting, you go, yeah, I lean this way or I lean that way. That's really who I am. But God will make a D a lot more sensitive and caring and loving and able to love and people feel it, or making, you know, an eye more detailed and thinking through things and give wisdom and discernment and so forth, so on. I won't go through each one because it's Jesus is conforming us into his image. Here's the key thing. As you're praying through our lives and what God's called us to do and not to do as we go through it, we don't need to use our personality as a crutch or an excuse not to do something that the Lord's called us to do or he's edging us on to do. You know, I've heard people say, I can't do that. I'm just not made that way. It's just not who I am. I've even heard people say, I am who I am, so just deal with it. It's probably a D, right? All right. So, you know, I'm me, so deal with it, you know. Well, we don't need to say that. You know, again, that sounds a little bit like Moses when he said, God, you know, you didn't give me, I can't talk. I mean, you're calling me to do that, I can't speak. And God says, you know, three times, yes, you can, I'm going to do it. And he ended up giving him Aaron to just go with him. But we don't need to do that. We can't use our personality or let our feelings govern or, you know, God tends to do this. God often calls people to do things that are out of their comfort zone. He does this to cause us to walk by faith in him and to give him glory. You know, God, so when we feel like God's moving us or called us to do something, he wants us to step out in faith and to do those things for him. Okay, relating to others. Last section here before we stop. Learn others' personality and work to relate to them from their God-given temperament. That's so important. And serve others in how you relate to them. Do not expect them to serve you in how they relate to you. That's really important as well. keep your view of others on their strengths and not on their weaknesses. I'd encourage you, those who are in your life, those who are closest to you, take time to thank God for them in your prayer life before you ask God to change them, okay? Or before you ask God to do this. Take time to thank God for who they are and say out loud and pray to Him. And if you go, yeah, I can't think anything, well, then you just got a problem, okay? You need to stop and definitely don't ask Him to change anything because God's given them a lot of strength. You're probably upset about something. So go to God and confess that and say, now, help me see their strength and go and thank God for their strengths and how God made them. And don't focus on their weaknesses. We really need to focus on God's good design and become a champion of others and their strengths. You know, we need to encourage one another when we see their strengths in Christ and champion them. And then remember, different isn't bad. As I said, you know, multiple times, it's just different. And God intentionally made each one of us different. Work to lovingly and caringly complement others' weaknesses with your strengths. And that's why God put us all together in the body of Christ with different personalities and different strengths, is in order that we would bear each other's burdens, that we would accomplish tasks together, that if this person, you know, is a more initiating person, that he would pull me or she would pull me to do these things by faith, or this person is much more of, hey, let's wait. We don't need to jump into that, so let's think through it. Well, they help save a lot of issues, or let's make sure that this is how this is done. How is this going to affect the people, the F? Well, that's a very good question. Let's really pray through that. And so each personality is important, and use yours in the body of Christ in order to compliment others. And be quick to forgive, slow to speak negatively about others. We need to heap grace on each other. We need to make sure that our words are filled with grace, our hearts are filled with grace. In fact, let's make sure that we give others the grace that we want God to give us and that He has given us, you know, and that we want other people to give us, because we're not perfect, and guess what? They're not either. But let's be full of grace, heap grace, and quick to forgive and not speak negatively about others. Well, one last thing, a little bit of fun. I have this sheet that I've carried around with me since the 80s. I think it was I wrote down a note here. I don't remember the source, but I think it was in a Leadership Dynamics International book I got one time in 1986. So I keep these kind of things. So, what is the favorite song? Now, these are old songs. Hopefully, we all remember them. But what's the song for the D? I did it my way. What's the song for the I? Celebrate good time. Celebration. You remember that one? All right. What's the song for the S? Lean on me. Remember that one? All righty. And the song for the S? The gambler. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You know. So those are kind of fun. All right, what's the motto for the D? Be your own boss. What about the I? Listen, lighten up and have fun. What about the S? All for one and one for all. What about the C? If something can go wrong, it will. I didn't write it. I promise. I didn't write this. I'm just sharing it. All right, and it's here in 1986, and they probably got it from somebody. But anyway, what about the target practice? You know, this is always one of those fun things that you probably have heard before, but the D is ready, fire, aim. Okay? Why aim, man? Let's ready, fire, and then we'll aim. You know, the I, ready, aim. Hey, let's talk about it. And then the yes, ready, ready, ready. Everyone, ready? You know, so they're waiting for us all to get ready. And then target practice for the C. Ready, aim, aim, aim. Okay, you got it. Then fine. Yeah, they're gonna. There you go. So that's just the fun things. You know, it's got like 10 things on here, but those are just a few that I thought were fun. So, all right. So we're going to go ahead and go to our small group time, and you have on your sheet on the very back page down there, just I think I only did two questions for us to discuss, and you can go through those in your small group. All right, and then I'll call us back together in a few minutes. All right, let me ask you a question. All right. So, you said you had a question. You can throw that out. That'd be great. What question? All right. You're the D. You go ahead. Okay. Out of the C. Is that what you said? I think that creativity is in each one. The C, I listed creativity in the C because they're going to really think through a lot of options that we've not ever thought through. And so, but then the I tends to be real creative in their words and in their, they can really think creatively, and really a lot of writers have an IC temperament or a CI temperament. Like, it's pretty interesting because they're able to think that way and they want to express themselves, and it's kind of, you know, so those two would really be very creative. My wife is an SI, but she's an artist because she has that talent. So you got to remember too, you're not just your personality. That's just one part of you. You have these God-given talents, and he may give you talents of creativity, whether it's music or whether it's art or whether it's, you know, any type of writing, or I'm going to actually give you probably 50 different talents, and you can circle which one you like and what you think you are, and you go, what talents do I have? Okay, I'll give you 50 options, and there's a lot more than that. So I'll give you those, next week. That's our talent week. So that's right, talent show. Let's everybody be ready to show your, you know, you ever done the silly talent show and seen people do silly things? Yeah, we're not going to do that. But anyway, it's funny. All right. So, but there you go. And I think, so your creativity can come in from a talent and ability, as well, and not just your personality. And then people get spiritual gifts that can lend itself towards, you know, some creative venue too. And so it can kind of come in together with that. So there you go. That's the answer to that. Yes, sir. Well, what's some of the things y'all talked about around your table that, you know, you'd like to share? Anything, I guess I could sit there and go, somebody could share one of these two things, you know. What'd y'all say? Toolkit? Okay. Explain. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Great idea. See? That's why we're having discussion. Super. I love that. All right. Somebody else? Anybody? Things y'all might have talked about? Things you want to talk about that you didn't? Yeah. Don't let that make anybody feel uncomfortable next time you walk. Somebody walks in the room. Yeah. Who's trying to figure me out? All right. Other questions or just comments? Anything that y'all would like to share? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right, yeah. Yep. I have two sisters and a brother. And my oldest brother, predominantly without a doubt, there's no party, you know, big enough. He's ready. I mean, no people party. I mean, he's high. My next sister is a D, probably an I secondary, but she's definitely going to keep. My next sister is an F. So, like, all my, and now she's, you know, my older brother will kind of look out after her son because she knows that, you know, my two middle sisters, you know, one's a D and one's an F. And that, you know, that doesn't always work out good at home when you're growing up. And so, anyway, so that was very good. I like that. And then I came along. So, all right. I am a DI. Both are high. Now, Howard said he thought I was a three-pointer, and I'm like, I think, but he thought I had my third one was a C. And you go, well, when I look at this, I think you're a C too, you know. But I think this is more of my spiritual gift of administration that God gave me to organize things. But when I do things like this, I could have misspelling and I could have double words. Will you circle them and fix them for me? Because I've gone through this about 10 times. You know, so you help me out, and you're a C, right? Yeah. So anyway, I love it. I need help. So I needed to give it to Patty. I should have done that because she's so good, my assistant, and she's a C, but she's like amazing to fix my stuff. So I can organize things well, but I could get the details wrong. Even Miss Bill Schaefer, right? You know, on my PowerPoint. And the funny thing is I looked and I said, did I misspell that last time I talked? I spelled it right the last time. I don't know how I, you know, I'm like, golly, I don't know. It was Shepherd. All right. It's exactly right, yeah. Oh, good. There you should be. There should be. Now, that's a good thing to do. So, point in hand, you can misspell things if it's your own word. I've never heard anybody say that. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is almost my dissertation, isn't it? Uh-huh. All right. It's not. You're like, no, it's not. Yeah. Thank you for even saying that, because that gives other people ideas. That's cool. I may have to use that if I teach this again. Oh, yeah, we all do. But that was a great idea. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else have something you want to share, an idea, thoughts? All right. Appreciate y'all being here. Growth work, homework, you see that there. If you want to go a little deeper, do a little more, you know, I just put three things down that you could do, and you can take that and study it. I do have some past handouts if you've missed a week or two. I don't have Ray's over here, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and then we'll let you get those.